Join the conversation. Join the fun. And join the buzz with Columbia Buzz.
This is Mike Murphy. I'm here with Al Germont. If you got caught on hold at the end of the last segment, please think about calling back in later. We're going to have the whole second hour of the show devoted to talking with you, so don't go away.
We rectified the problem.
Yeah. So joining us now on the show is Ed Stansberry. Ed's the executive director of the Voluntary Action Center, who's about to break ground on the a new homeless services center out on Business Loop 70 that you've been hearing about. Ed, thanks for joining us on the show. Well, we're getting this down. Ed, thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good to be with you.
All right. Tell us the status. I know you're getting close to breaking ground out there.
We are. We were waiting on a final permit from MoDOT because we front Business Loop. MoDOT has to give their blessing to our plans for that area. And so we just received that permit right before the cold weather hit. So we were ready to do the original site work, but obviously the frozen ground will delay us for a little bit. But we're ready to go just as soon as the weather permits.
The contractor is what? Emery Sapp is involved in this?
That's correct, for the original site work. That's the only contract that's been awarded at this point.
Tell us what's going to happen out there, Ed.
Well, we're going to, and I think it's important that folks know that a lot of this was driven by the City of Columbia, not only making homelessness a part of its most recent strategic plan, but as you guys know, there have been surveys of the community over the years that homelessness issues end up at or near the top of the concerns of the community. So as a result of that and the ARPA funds, the American Rescue Plan Act funds that came down to municipalities across the country, the city put out they called it a planning grant RFP, and we responded to that RFP in coordination with the Columbia Housing Authority because it had both a homeless services component to it as well as an affordable housing component to it. So Housing Authority picked up the affordable housing component, and we ran with the homeless services. So as part of that RFP, the city requested that we create a minimum of an additional 75 emergency shelter beds, that the facility operate 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, that we focus our services on single adult males and females, which make up about 70% of the homeless population, and come up with a resource center to provide wraparound and follow-on services to assist our homeless neighbors to get up and out of the situation that they find themselves in. We've been very clear from the beginning that we don't want to strictly warehouse folks and provide shelter. We want to surround them with services that can make a difference in the outcomes in their lives. So through a number of community partners that are with us on this venture, including Room at the Inn, Turning Point, and Lowe's and Fishes. Those have been our three primary partners from the very beginning. In addition, we have letters of intent from another six organizations in town to provide services like job assistance and job placement, life skills coaching, mental health, substance abuse assistance, and physical health, dental vision assistance through community partners. Obviously, VAC does not do all of those things, but we will also be on the campus to continue to provide our basic needs services that we feel will be taken advantage of more effectively with our proximity to the homeless shelter. So it's a broad array of services that we'll be providing our homeless neighbors, and we've spent a great deal of time. I think we're in our third year of planning and putting this together. We've made trips to some other homeless services sites around the Midwest to see what they're doing, learn about what mistakes they may have made and recommendations they might have for us. So we're excited about what we're putting together here in Columbia and feel like it'll be an effective tool for our homeless neighbors to take advantage of.
So you're bringing all of those services under one roof is what it amounts to, or into one complex.
Correct. Two roofs, to be technical. But yeah, yep. one complex, one campus, yes.
So tell us a little bit about fundraising. I think we're talking about an $18 million price tag before it goes out to bid. Tell us what you've done so far and what you got to do.
Right. Well, at this point, we've been in the quiet phase of our private capital campaign. And as most folks know, we did receive a $6 million grant from the state of Missouri for the project. The city council voted to award $3 million in ARPA funds from the city of Columbia. And those three components combined right now, we're at about $12 million, so about 65-66% of total funds raised. And we typically, in a private capital campaign launch, you launch the public phase of that when you have at least 50% raised. So with us being at 65% raised, we feel very confident about launching our capital campaign, which we plan the public phase of that, which we plan to do late first quarter, early second quarter this year.
You have retained Nick Peckham, who is a licensed architect at a firm here. I think he's practicing privately now. But anyway, Mr. Peckham has gone, and I assume this is a replica or a copy or a fusion of other sites around the country. Is that correct?
I think that would be fair to say that based on what we learned, we tried to put the best pieces of all of those together that we could. I think it is unique in the respect that in many communities, you may see the shelter services, I would call it splintered, so that, one group is serving single adults, one group is serving families, one group is serving youth. Obviously, we're focused on the single adults, but what really differentiates us, I think, in the model we put together is the robust nature of our wraparound services and case management that will go along with that. That was one of the things we learned
how
early
do you,
on. Was.
Ed, how do you, sorry to interrupt you. I thought you were pausing. How do you pitch this to donors? How do you get somebody to, you got a lot of money to raise. Why would people give you money for this?
Well, I think I go back to what I said earlier in the conversation, that the community has said that this is a priority for a number of years. And the city of Columbia, we all know what the population here has done in the last 20 years and what we all think it will continue to do, and that is grow. And as that growth happens, the homeless population grows right along with it. But we would use that. And I also like to say, Mike, that in effect, the community is already paying for this in the unreimbursed medical expenses that happen with our health partners here in the community that can reach hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars a year for unreimbursed services provided to our homeless neighbors. The burden that it places on our law enforcement as well as our judicial system, we are paying for this already. So we believe, and we've seen models that interrupt those cycles of emergency room visits when we can have a medical clinic on site to address things that folks need help with. Of course, the mental health and the substance abuse side are critically important to what we do as well. But those are the pitches we will use to, as well as, I think it's a Most folks know when we see in the news that a homeless camp has been cleared, where are those folks going? They don't have any place to go right now that will have the resources available to them that the Opportunity Campus will. So what we're doing is just moving those camps around the community. And once we are open, we certainly will be, I hope, the first option for those that are clearing those camps and allow those folks to be able to take advantage of what we're offering.
So would this maybe address some of the issues involved with people on the street corners who are out there looking for funds, for money? I mean, begging in a sense. Can we see that problem addressed?
You know, that is, I have learned in the course of this that is a more complicated issue than one might think. For instance, our local police, CPD, has no jurisdiction on any state road that may be running through Columbia, which would include, of course, Stadium and the Business Loop, and that any activity there has to be enforced by the Highway Patrol. Well, the Highway Patrol is not going, our understanding is that the Highway Patrol is not going to remove those panhandlers unless they're destroying state property. And as we know, most of them aren't destroying the property. So it's a complicated issue, but we certainly realize that, and I think it's important for folks to know that the day we open the campus, we're not going to make all that disappear.
It's going to be very hard for you to help people who don't want to be helped.
That's correct too, Mike. And there is a portion of that population that is their stance. And that brings alongside other community partners that are doing what we call street outreach to those folks that have those relationships with people that say they don't want to, that they're living off the grid or however they want to describe it. But they have the relationships with that segment of the homeless population. And we're hopeful that we can work with them to say, you know, in their interactions with those folks, hey, you know, let's say they have a medical issue or they've got an abscess tooth or something. Let's go over to the Opportunity Campus, give it a shot. Let's get your tooth taken care of. You can see what it's all about. And maybe we build a bridge to those and can over time even reach some of those people as well.
How do you respond to the criticism that these services sort of enable the bad behavior of the people who don't want to be helped?
Well, I think when you say these services,
the services that you provide, I mean, you have them there. So somebody wants to choose this lifestyle. Now, when it's cold, they can come on and visit your shelter and get warm and get some food and get taken care of and then go back to their lifestyle.
Yeah, I think, Mike, that's where, you know, I think it's important for everybody to realize that a homeless individual has all the rights and freedoms that you and I do. So we can't make them do anything. But when they do come to take advantage of the services being offered at the Opportunity Campus, that's where our case management folks come into play. Will they have a 100% conversion rate, so to
speak? Sure.
Probably not. But can they start that relationship of trust with that person that allows them to then maybe come back and dive a little deeper into what we're trying to help them do? That's what the plan is. But I think, again, it's important that for everybody to know that we don't have the expectation of 100% effectiveness on day one. It's going to be a process.
Sure. One other common criticism here, Ed, we got about a minute left, is what about the idea that if you build it, they will come? There's this concern that, you know, all of a sudden we're not taking care of them, we're bringing them.
Right. The best way I can respond to that is there was a national survey done, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what year it was done in, but the results of that survey were that over 70% of the homeless population is homeless in the community in which they became homeless. So, and if we think about it, this isn't a community that is, I mean, they're homeless. They aren't necessarily mobile to say, you know, I'm sitting in Des Moines and, hey, I heard they've got a great new homeless center in Columbia. I'm going to get in the car or get on a bus and go to Columbia to take advantage of the new homeless services center. And will we pick up from the surrounding communities, Boonville, Moberly, Fulton, Jefferson City. I think there will be some of that, but we will certainly be focusing our efforts on Boone County, the Boone County homeless population, as significantly as we can.
All right. You've been listening to Ed Stansberry, the Executive Director of the Voluntary Action Center. Ed, thank you so much for joining Columbia Buzz this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. And when we get back, we'll continue the conversation, and we'll also answer your calls. So stick with us.
We have Roger on the line, yes.